Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this morning singing together from Psalter 28, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord my guide. We sing 28, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and we'll read 1 through 13. Mark 16, beginning at verse 1. But first we will hear the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Mark 16, beginning at verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto 2 of them as they walked, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and presence in this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast revealed thyself unto us through thy precious word as that triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, And in thee we may know from thy word that there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. Lord, on this beautiful morning, on this first day of the week, when we may see the sun shining in creation, may we ask thee that thy Son, the Son of thy righteousness, he who was risen, who is alive and lives forevermore, that he may shine among us with his presence, with his grace. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would gather with us with the presence of thy Holy Spirit and work mightily, irresistibly, renewing hearts and teaching and leading and guiding, correcting, admonishing, and comforting thy dear people. Lord, may we experience the true joy of the message of Easter. We confess by nature, we may know this and even speak about it, but there's no room in our hearts. There's no need. And this message is not a message of joy. It's only cold history. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then that thou would teach us who we are before thee, a holy and just God, and that thy justice must be satisfied, and that we have nothing to satisfy thy justice, and that thou would reveal and open and show that only way through thy Son, who came into this world, who kept thy law perfectly, but who gave himself as a sacrifice, and who satisfied thy justice. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, in this day that thou would work mightily. Oh, thou who art that exalted, risen Savior, who lives forevermore, who ascended also into heaven, but also said that thou would always be with thy church. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then gather with us in this morning. Thou hast said in thy word, where two or three are gathered together, I will be in the midst. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, come among us in this morning and remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. They're in the depth of their misery, but they don't see it. And that is our greatest misery. We don't see it. We don't feel it. Oh, we beg thee that thou would give them life. Lord, thou art that same almighty Savior. When thou wast upon the earth, then thou hast spoken outside of that sepulchre of Lazarus, come forth, and he was made alive, and he came forth. Thou hast that same power spiritually to give life to dead sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then accompany thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that it may give life, that new ones may be born again, that thy name may be exalted, that sinners would come to true repentance and cry out unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and that there may be joy in the presence of angels, because sinners in Cortland were brought to true repentance. Oh, we beg thee then also remember all thy dear people. Thou knowest how it is in their hearts on this Easter morning. Thou knowest how they have come into thy house, maybe with many questions, riddles, doubts, unbelief, deadness, coldness, or maybe there was some hunger, some thirst, hungering after thee, as that heart panteth for the living waters. Lord, thou knowest each heart, each need, each person. Oh, we beg thee then that the preaching of thy precious word of law and gospel may be to the coming of thy kingdom, that there may be more sheep gathered in to that fold, that thou would be that exalted, precious Savior, that thou would become so necessary, that thou would be that suitable one and that precious one for poor and needy sinners who experience that they must satisfy thy justice, but they have nothing to satisfy thee. Oh, lead them to that place that we may hear in this morning the message of resurrection, that God the Father is satisfied with that payment of his Son. O wilt thou teach then that we may truly come without money, without price, looking only and entirely outside of self unto that risen Savior. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, work mightily with thy Holy Spirit, also in the hearts of thy dear people, in the little lambs and the sheep. So often we look to so many other things within, trying to find ways to have peace with God. But Lord, wilt thou strip us of everything, that we see it's all sin, all unrighteousness, and that we only have filthy rags, but that we may be drawn with those cords of love to look, to truly believe, to rest upon that risen Savior who has paid that full debt and opened that way back to that communion with God, who came, who suffered, who died, who gave everything for a people who have nothing. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would richly bless thy word today here, but also throughout our denomination, but throughout the entire world. Oh, may thy kingdom come, Lord, that many may be born again, that many may come to know thee, to worship thee, to exalt thee. Oh, we beg it, Lord, for thy great namesake and for our eternal welfare. Pass us not by, Lord, because of all our sins, all our iniquities, all our transgressions. We only come before thee as a polluted people. But we beg thee, Lord, for thy great name's sake, as thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, we pray that thou would help them, all thy servants throughout the entire world. Remember those who are sick and afflicted, weak, getting older. Help them, Lord. May we ask thee again especially to remember River Verhoef as he will soon receive treatments and radiation. Bless it, Lord, for his body. And may this time of affliction also be a time that it may be a blessing for his soul. Give him grace to surrender, to follow his good shepherd. And may we ask thee, Lord, that thou would spare his life, bless the means for his family, for the congregation, and may it be for the denomination, for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for thy church. Lord, we beg thee, thou who art the Lord of the harvest, wilt thou thrust out more servants to work in thy vineyard? Lord, give men grace and call them to this task, that they must preach the gospel, and they must say, woe is me if I do not obey and go forward. Open doors, Lord, do wonders for thy name's sake, and that we may rejoice in the works of God to such unworthy sinners. Lord, bless thy word also among Jew and Gentile. Remember thy covenant people, Lord. We beg thee that thou would do wonders among them. Take away that veil from their eyes, and that they may see the New Testament that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is that promised Messiah, that he has come, that he has paid, suffered, died, and rose again. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, richly bless thy word among them, but also among Gentiles throughout the world. And may we pray and ask thee also especially, as thou hast given a responsibility and a task to bring thy word in Bolivia, bless it to the Bolivians, Lord, that many may be drawn unto thee, renewed and taught and led, and come to know and worship that only name given among men whereby we must be saved, the name of thy dear and precious Son, that only mediator, that only redeemer. Help then also thy servant Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, and the congregations there, but also the church workers and their families. Use them and us and all thy servants, all elders, all deacons, all those who work in thy kingdom called by thee. And Lord, we pray that we may be instruments in thy hand. May we remain in ourselves nothing more than a son of man, a sinful instrument. But yet, Lord, give a voice to cry, a voice to speak, to lift up that only precious Savior. And thou hast said that when he is lifted up, sinners would be drawn unto him. Oh, we beg thee then for the unction of thy Holy Spirit to preach, but also thy Spirit to listen. Open spiritually deaf ears. Open spiritually deaf eyes to hear, to see. Enlighten darkened minds to hear, to know, to understand. But take away those hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh. Lord, remember the whole congregation. Care for all the sick and afflicted, those receiving treatments. We think of Luke also. Remember him. Help him. Give it a blessing for him. Remember those also who are mourning. Comfort them. Remember the widows, those who have lost a husband, other relatives, children maybe, siblings, friends. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, may we hear thy voice through all the afflictions, through death, but also especially through thy word that thou art proclaiming unto us. Prepare to meet thy God. O Lord, wilt thou prepare us by thy grace, by thy Spirit, through the foolishness of preaching. Remember also those tiny little premature babies in the hospital, also one in Iowa and one in Toronto. Care for them. Look upon those fragile little lives in thy mercy, and give that they may grow, and at thy time, and if it's in thy will, they also may go home to be in the homes with their parents. Care for them, Lord. And so we lay all these needs before thee. Help us to listen. Help the children to hear, to understand, the teenagers, the adults, older ones. Lord, we all need the same thing. We all have the same name, sinner, and we need thy grace. And we need that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, for thy grace, for thy Holy Spirit to work among us, for thy glory and for our salvation. Oh, may there be a little food for the hungry, a little water for the thirsty, and make us hungry. Make us thirsty for thee, and feed us, Lord, with that bread of life. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now this morning's worship service with singing from Psalter 427, stanzas 1, 5, and 6. Let all exalt Jehovah's goodness, for most compassionate is he. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. Let Israel praise Jehovah's goodness and say, exalt his majesty. His mercy, excellent in fullness, endureth to eternity. 427, stanzas 1, 5, and 6. And the collections for this morning is the first for the church and the second for the school target fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Congregation, children, you remember the history of Joseph, how his brothers had taken him with wicked and cruel hands and thrown him to a pit and later sold him as a slave. What evil, cruel actions. What would they tell their father? Their father would certainly miss Joseph. Well, they killed an animal. They took his coat and dipped it in blood and sent it to their father. And when his father received it, he came to the conclusion that an evil beast had destroyed and eaten his son. His son was dead. They did this, the brothers, without the sight of their father. And for 22 years, Jacob thought his son was dead. But then one day, he heard. News came. Joseph is alive. But Jacob could not believe that. His heart fainted. And then they showed him the wagons. They're from Joseph. Joseph is alive. And they told him about his words. And so then Jacob, his spirit revived. And he said, I want to go see him. I want to go see him before I die. Joseph is alive. My friends, this morning, there's a greater wonder, a much infinite greater announcement of joy, of news. It's not that Joseph is alive. No, God's son, the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ, is alive. He has risen. Wicked, cruel men in the sight of his father took him, slayed him, crucified him. And yet he arose. Jesus Christ is alive. And therefore there's hope, congregation. There's hope for miserable, perishing, ungodly, corrupt, sinful people. Joseph had bread to help that people to live, an abundance. But the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, has grace and abundance for the chiefest of sinners. And he can make them alive, and he can feed them and care for them, and he will bring them into that eternal glory. So Easter is a message of joy. It's a message of hope. And may it be a message of comfort for poor and needy sinners. Jesus Christ is alive, and he lives forevermore as an exalted, glorious Savior. But may I ask you, on Easter morning, when you hear this, how do you listen to this story, to this fact, to this history, to this precious truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ is alive? Is it just history? Maybe you can even write some paragraphs to explain it, but how is it in your heart? Is there a need in your heart for a living, powerful Savior who has paid it all for those who have absolutely nothing? How is it in your heart this morning? Is it only a history? Is it meaningless to your soul? Or is there some hunger? Is there some thirst? And children of God, remember that first time you saw something through the preaching or through the Word of God reading that Jesus Christ was revealed to you? Oh, how precious that was. There was joy. But how is it this morning? What does this mean to you? How did you come to church this morning? This message that Jesus Christ is alive is such a rich message. Hope for perishing sinners. But there is the life, everything that perishing sinners need, but also God's people, because without him they are lost. But to hear it is one thing. But that it would enter into your heart to truly believe it. We see in Mark 16, Mary Magdalene and Mary. In Mark 16, they're going to the sepulcher. They're going with their spices. They didn't need their spices. They were going there. They were going to the grave of Jesus Christ with expectation to anoint his body with spices. Why? Because they loved him. Because they missed him. And this would be the last act of their love to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they come there and the grave is empty. Imagine how those women felt coming to the grave, wanting to anoint that precious Savior for their soul with those spices, but the grave is empty. And where's the body? Where is he? Where is he whom my soul loveth? He's not there. They expected to find a body in the sepulcher, but it was empty. These women have erred greatly. Yes, it's one thing to think that your son is dead and is living. But it's a complete another thing to think that your Savior is dead and yet he is alive. Remember the message of the angels in Luke 24, verse 5? Why seek ye the living among the dead? These women should be rejoicing. Church of God, you should be rejoicing this morning in a risen Savior, because in him is all your hope, nothing in you, but in everything in him. Are you? Am I rejoicing in a risen Savior? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, 14 and 7, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also vain. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. We are yet in our sins, lost. But he was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. The grave is empty. Where Jesus Christ was laying, it's empty. He's not there. He has resurrected. This is not disappointing news. This is the best news that rang on the earth and the best news today. That's the best news that those women could receive. That's the best news also for poor, perishing sinners and for God's church. Because in his resurrection is life. In his resurrection there is salvation. There's joy. There's peace. Through that resurrection, God and sinners are reconciled. And so today, on this first day of the week, and the first day of the week when the early church met, you know how they greeted each other? They greeted each other, "The Lord is risen." And then they would answer, "He is risen indeed." It was their joy. It was their life. It was their hope. Is that your joy? Is that your hope? Is that your life? Well, with the Lord's help, we will meditate on a few things about this resurrection this morning. And I'd like to ask your attention to Mark 16, verse 6. Mark 16, verse 6, where we read from the Word of God. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they have laid him." In these verses, we see that Jesus Christ, who was crucified, dead, and was buried, has risen. He rose by his own power. Yes, we read in John 10, verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." But Jesus Christ was also raised by God the Father. He was raised by his Father. He was given by his Father, as we read in Galatians. No, he was raised by his Father, as we read in Galatians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So God the Father raised him. God the Father gave them, as we know that well-known verse, John 3, verse 16. God the Father put him to death, as we may read in Isaiah 53, and he did it with pleasure. But now with pleasure, God the Father, who gave his Son, who put his Son to death, can also raise him. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God the Father has a message. There's a message to this woman through the angel, a servant of God, but there's also a message for you and me on Easter morning. What is God saying to you and me on this morning? And we will only consider two thoughts from this text. So the theme is God's message on Easter. And those 2 points are two phrases from Mark 16, verse 6. The first phrase is, "He is risen." What's the message? What is God the Father saying? Yes, God the Father raised him. He has a message through rising, resurrecting his Son. He proclaims satisfaction in the name of Jesus Christ. He is risen. He proclaims satisfaction in the sacrifice of Jesus. The second thought is a second phrase in this text. Be not affrighted. And because he is risen, there's a message. Be not affrighted. What does that mean? What's the message? Through that risen, resurrected, risen Savior, be not affrighted. It proclaims comfort to those and to those only who seek Jesus. So God's message on Easter, he is risen. It proclaims satisfaction in the sacrifice of Jesus. Be not affrighted. It proclaims comfort to those who seek Jesus. And so our first thought, he is risen, proclaims satisfaction in the sacrifice of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a well-known history. It's a well-known history, and yet we know how Satan has tried to hide it by the deceit. We know how they said to those soldiers to pay money that his body was stolen. And through this resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has a message. Congregation, every time you come to church, God has a message. It's not me speaking. I must speak, thus saith the Lord. God speaks through everything, but he also especially speaks through his word, and he speaks through the preaching of his word, and he speaks through his Son. Yes, Hebrews 1 verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, not only by the deeds and words of Jesus Christ, not through all his preaching, all his miracles, but also by what God did through his Son, in his giving him, in his putting to death, but also in his raising his Son. God the Father raised his Son, Jesus Christ. And through that almighty, that wonderful act of God, God has a profound message to proclaim to you and me on Easter. What is it? What's the message? What's the message that he wants you all to hear? God is saying, I am satisfied. I'm satisfied. My wrath has been appeased. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with the sacrifice of my Son. Jesus Christ is and was the eternal delight of his Father. God the Father stated this at his birth. When the angels he sent to sing above those fields, glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then later also, at the baptism of Jesus Christ and his transfiguration, God had another message of how he was satisfied, delighting in his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. He speaks through his words. These words cannot be said of you and me. God is not satisfied with you. God is not satisfied with me. He was satisfied with that crown jewel in paradise. But that crown jewel of paradise rebelled willfully against God. And man fell deep in sin, totally depraved, totally corrupt, totally polluted, totally sinful from head to toe. And yet God, that same God that we offended to his very heart, gave his son, whom he delighted in, gave him to be a sacrifice, but also raised him. Raised him. God is not satisfied with you. Have you experienced that? And are you longing to be again, that God will look upon you and say, satisfied? Is there a heart in you that longs for his favor, for communion? God, through the act of his raising his son, and on Easter morning has a message, I am satisfied with my son. God was satisfied with his son every single moment, through all the eternity, as we read in Proverbs 8, but every single moment of Jesus Christ, of his life upon earth, he was delighted in him. He was satisfied in him. But when was he most satisfied? When did he look upon his son? And we read that he loved him especially there. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say in John 10 verse 17? Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? What did he say? Because I laid down my life. God the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice of his son, that Lamb of God. But maybe you say, when did the Lord say that? We don't hear anything of God the Father speaking when he was on the cross. God didn't say anything. In fact, the Lord Jesus felt absolutely forsaken. So how do we know that God was satisfied with the sacrifice of his son? And that is a message for us this morning on Easter. We know not because he spoke with an audible voice, but because he spoke with his act and his deed. What happened when the Lord Jesus Christ died, children? What happened in the temple? Remember, you have the holies and the holies of holies. And there was a thick veil separating, because in the holies of holies was God's presence. It was a preaching. No sinner that I can never be satisfied can ever enter into my presence. But when Jesus Christ died, what happened? What happened to that veil hanging in the temple? It was ripped in half. It was opened. Opened by who? Opened by God. It's a preaching. God is saying through his son, through his sacrifice, that he was satisfied. That way is open. It's open back to me for such hell-worthy sinners. It's open. My heart is opened because I'm satisfied with my son. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, who was very God and very man, after he had offered one sacrifice for the sins forever set down on the right hand of God, man sinned, man became unjust, man became corrupt, and he was not anyway able to satisfy God. And God works on sinners, and they begin to understand this, feel this, know this, believe it. And they long to satisfy because he pours love in their heart. But the more they try, what do they find? I get a little better, a little better. I satisfy him? No. They find it only gets worse and worse. A greater sinner every moment, every hour. Worse and worse, that foul fountain of the heart keeps bursting out sin upon sin. I can never satisfy.
That's a good place to come to, because that's the truth. Why? Because that makes room for the satisfaction of another, of the only one where God was satisfied. We need to be brought to that place where God the Father says, I'm satisfied, because that's the only way he can be satisfied in you, in me, through him, that precious Savior. Now, on this Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene and Mary come to the sepulchre and find an empty grave. But God the Father is saying, I'm satisfied. What did he say? Well, we considered one act, but he did more acts. He did other things. God is in control of the whole universe, all creation. What happened on that morning of resurrection? We read in Matthew 28, verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. God was speaking, also speaking through nature, through the earthquake. It's a message. And then the stone was rolled away. Who rolled that stone away? God the Father did, through his messenger. He sent an angel to roll that stone away. What's the message? God is speaking. Open the grave. Roll that stone away. I want my son to come out. He must live. He paid for everything. I don't want him to suffer one little bit more. I saw him humble himself, become so low, become such a worm. He gave everything. My beloved son in whom I delighted. Now I want him to live. I'm satisfied. He must live. That grave must become open, because my son must come out. He must live. God is satisfied. He's speaking to that open grave through that stone rolled away. And he sent that messenger to speak, to give that message. He is risen. He is saying through that open grave, through that stone rolled away, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Satisfied with my son. I want my son exalted. Exalted. He lived to exalt me. And now I'm satisfied. I want him to be exalted to the highest. That should be in your and my heart this morning on Easter. We should be with our hearts longing to exalt that risen Savior who gave everything for those who have absolutely nothing. How is it in your heart? How is it in my heart? God is saying, I'm satisfied with that work of my son. My justice is satisfied. Those arms can go open from the Father to receive the greatest, the most vilest of sinner, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God is proclaiming, I'm satisfied. What a message, congregation. What a message of hope. What a message of joy. What a message of salvation. It was the joy of the Father to be able to raise his son. And he did this for who? Let's think about that for a moment. For who? For good people? No, there's none good. For who? Oh, his children. His children. No, he did it for enemies. He did it for wicked ones, hopeless ones, lost ones, wretched ones, those who only would cry out, crucify him. And that's what we did, Church of God. With every single sin, we crucified him. My friend, how did you come this morning? Is it just history? History? Nice story? Or is there a need for that Savior? Do you need not only a Savior who paid, but do you need a living Savior? Because you cannot do anything of yourself. You need him to guide you, to teach you, to lead you, to help you, to lead you on that way, to pay everything for you, to cover you with his righteousness, and to wash you with his blood. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, he is risen, proclaims. God the Father is satisfied. Remember Good Friday? Jesus Christ had a message. Finished. It's finished. And on Easter, God gives his stamp upon the work of his son. And he's saying, I'm satisfied. Children, Maybe you had to work for some time to make some money. And then you have something you want to buy. Maybe a little toy. And you go to the store. And you find that special toy on the shelf. And you see how much it costs. So you go in your pocket and you take that money out. And then you go to the cash register where there's a lady there. You put that toy on the counter. And you put that money there. And now, can you take it home? You paid, but is it accepted? Can you take it home? What's the proof? She gives you a receipt. She gives you a receipt to show, I'm satisfied with your payment. A little illustration. On Good Friday, so to speak, with much reverence, the Lord Jesus Christ said, finished, I paid. He presented that payment before his Father. And on Easter, God the Father is saying, it's perfect. Exactly. Exactly. It fits exactly. My justice is satisfied exactly in this payment. God the Father provided his Son, put his Son to death, provided everything in that payment. He gave it all. And now he's saying, for ones who have absolutely nothing, I'm satisfied with the payment of my Son. He is risen. He lives. It's a message. And for those that are in him, born again, repent of all their sins, and are drawn to believe in him by the gift of faith, because of him, we read in Romans 8, verse 1, now then there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Only worthy of condemnation himself, because of Christ, because of the Lamb, because of his payment. God has a message. No condemnation. What a message. For his beloved, poor, needy, wretched, afflicted, assaulted lambs and sheep for sinners. The Savior has paid the ransom. And now there is full. Yeah, simple word. But listen, full and free salvation for those who have nothing. They may come without money and without price. And that's what they find. Their prayers can't pay. Their tears can't pay. Their conversion can't pay. Their texts can't pay. Nothing can pay. All the experience, as real as they are, by God's grace, they can't satisfy. But they can come without money and without price. Why? Because he paid it all. Because that is where God the Father is satisfied. Satisfied. And he wants you to hear it this morning. You all may hear it. Why? That you may rest in him, but also that you may seek his Son. Our second thought. But let us first sing Psalter 243, the first three stanzas. 243, 1, 2, and 3, standing. In vision to his saints God spake, from out the people one I take, a mighty leader, true and brave, ordained, exalted, strong to save. 243, 1, 2, and 3. Thank you.
God's message on Easter. He is risen, proclaims God the Father is satisfied in the sacrifice of his Son. But there's another message also, another phrase in this text which we will meditate on. Be not affrighted. Those women were affrighted. And so exactly what their hearts are troubled with, the angels speak, a message of God. Be not affrighted. What does this proclaim? Comfort to those who seek the Lord Jesus Christ. The women come to that sepulcher and they enter and they see a man sitting on the right side clothed with a long white garment. And they were affrighted, as we read in Mark 16. Who is this man? Children, who is he? He's an angel. He's an angel. He did not only bring a message that he is risen, but he also gives a message which we will read again from the text. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. And we read in a parallel portion in another gospel, in Matthew 28, verse 6, and the angel answered and said unto them, unto the women, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. It's hard to imagine what was in the hearts of Mary Magdalene and Mary. Their Savior had died. Their Savior died. And they cannot find his body. They don't understand his death. They don't understand where his body is. And it's the third day. They should have believed in the word that the Lord Jesus spoke to them. But in their thoughts, Jesus is still dead. He's dead. He's dead. But there's in their hearts something else. What else is in those hearts of those women? What else is in the hearts of those little lambs of sheep? They miss him. But why? Because they love him. They love him. Love brought these women to the cross. Love kept them there. They witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They witnessed his burial. They witnessed it all. Their love for the Lord Jesus Christ was the cause that they woke up early on this morning. Why? Because they were seeking him. They missed him. They couldn't live without him, that Savior. Is this your life? Is this your heart? Can you live without him? Or do you need him? Is it in your heart, give me Jesus Christ or else I die? These women could not live without him. Their love brought him. Their love caused him to buy expensive spices. In love they came early. In love they came to a tomb that they knew there was a great stone rolled before it. But through it all, nothing could keep them away from the grave. They had to go. They were seeking a Savior. Yes, it's true, a dead one. But he has risen. But let's just focus on that point. They were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved him. All their actions spoke about love. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were confused about many things. And yes, they should have believed the words of Jesus Christ. But one thing is absolutely certain and clear in the heart by God's grace. Love. Love for the Lord Jesus Christ. No, they didn't understand that doctrine that Paul wrote. Delivered for our offenses. Raised again for our justification. But they had love. They needed him. They could not live without him. They were seeking him. Do you understand them? Maybe much confusion, much riddles, much you don't understand even about your own heart, your own soul. What is it, Lord? What's all this going on? But is there one thing in your heart? Is there love? Love.
love for that Savior. Him, where is he whom my soul loveth? May I ask you, congregation, on this morning, what think ye? It's a personal question for every single one. What think ye of Christ? Who is he for you? Is it just a name? Or is it more? Has he become so necessary for your soul? Is he so suitable exactly to what you need? And has he also become precious? Because why? Not just to deliver from punishment, not to give you a good life on this earth, but why? To bring you back into favor with God. That's what they long for. They want communion. They want a smile. They want a little token of favor. That's what they want. And oh, that they could receive a little token, a little smile. But they know it's nothing in self. Because if God looked upon them and dealt with them, there's only one answer: away from me, forever. But in their heart, there's a hunger for that Savior. There's a love for him. Who are they like? Like the poet in Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? Or is this a question in your own heart? Where is he? I'm sure this question was in the heart of Mary and Mary Magdalene. Where is he? Where is that Savior? Where is he? He's not here. It's empty. These women were seeking the Lord Jesus Christ with their whole heart. Yes, they were wrong in seeking for a dead Savior because he was alive. And yet you see the grace of God in these women and all their confusion and all their unbelief. Also, there is love. Love. They're seeking. Seeking that only Savior. And they receive the message, be not affrighted. Why? Why fear not? Why? Because I know that ye seek Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. My friend, on Easter morning, can you understand these women? Do you understand their hearts? Do you know something on Easter morning also of this same experience? Because God's people, by the Spirit, learn the same lessons in the same school of grace. Are you seeking him with your whole heart? Or are you still seeking the world? The Lord has a message for all you poor, needy, wretched sinners that are seeking him, became seekers by God's grace, because you can't live without him. It's our guilt, that we don't seek him. And God says those that seek him with the whole heart, and it's by God's grace that we'd ever become such a seeker. But he promises those that seek him with their whole heart shall find him. These ones, on Easter morning, there's a message, fear not. Because I'm satisfied with my son, and you are seeking everything in my son, there's a message, fear not. Your heart can be so affrighted. When you see all that flesh, all that wickedness, be not affrighted. And he said later to the disciples, peace. There's peace for such sinners because of him, because of what he's done, because of what he paid. Those that seek him with their whole heart shall find him. There's no message of fear not for those who are only seeking the world. They didn't tell this to the Roman soldiers. No. Didn't tell them, fear not. No, they fled trembling. And you who are living dead in sins and trespass, there's a message. Not fear not, but fear greatly. Fear greatly. Oh, that you would tremble this morning. That you would hear through the law of your sin and hear that you are under wrath outside of Jesus Christ. There's a message, not fear not for you, but fear greatly. Flee from the wrath to come. Repent of all your sins. Take refuge in that only Savior, that only one who can save you, wash you, cleanse you, and cover you. for you who are without, living in this world, living to your flesh, living to your sin. There's only a message of condemnation, and yet the door of grace is wide open. There's still hope because he lives. Because he lives. He is still gathering his sheep in. He's still seeking. He's still saving. He has that power. He's given all power in heaven and earth. And you may beg him, Lord, I'm lost. My heart is dead. I only love the world. You can be honest. Tell him. I have no love, no need for that Savior who's risen. Tell him. And you may beg him, Lord, I heard this morning that thou hast risen and have been given all power. The word says that he has the power to make alive. Beg him. Go on your knees. Go home. The message of the angels, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus. Seek him with your whole heart. And he promises that those that seek him shall find him. These women also found him. No, he found them. He found them. And they found him. Because they had a message. Go. And I say it over words. Go tell the disciples and Peter. That's something. Who's Peter? He denied him. He denied him with an oath. When the Lord was giving an oath that he was that Savior, that child, that little sheep of his, Peter, he said, in with the oath, I do not know him. Tell Peter, is that you? Living denying him? He worked in you, but you just deny him? May you come to repentance, but also for Peter's. For Peter's. And with every sin, how we offend that good shepherd, Church of God. And Peter. And what do the women do? In Mark, it seems like they don't go. But in Matthew, we know they went. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And now, as they're going to bring that message, obeying, he finds them. And they find him. And then we read in Matthew 28, verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. What an Easter day for these women who were made seekers, confused, and yet with love seeking him. And he found them, and they found him, and they had such a blessed Easter. My friend, how is it in your heart? How is it in your heart? Are you comfortably coming and going Sunday after Sunday? It's good. Faithfully use the means of grace. But my friend, I hope you become absolutely uncomfortable that Easter is not only about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but that it could become the resurrection of your perishing soul, that you would be made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you would come to repent and make haste for your life's sake, and that only shelter under the wings of him who paid everything, where the Father was satisfied. He is a complete Savior for completely lost sinners. And he says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. These women found him. And maybe you ask, how do I know? How do I know if I really found him? Well, what did these women do when they found him? What do we read? They worshipped him. If you truly have found him, if you truly believe in him, and he found you, and you found him, then you'll be like these women. You want to worship him. Your heart becomes broken. You want to serve him. You want to follow him. You want to pour it all out to him. Christ is alive, congregation, and he lives forevermore. Open your Bibles. I'd like to read two verses from Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18 at the end of this service. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Revelation 1, 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And now the risen Savior speaks. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. He's alive. God the Father spoke, satisfied. And there's a message for all those that seek him with their whole heart. Be not afraid. Be not afraid, Church of God, little lambs. Be not affrighted. All you see in yourself, may that just drive you more and more to be hidden, to be covered in that precious Savior, that precious Savior who lives, that exalted one, that holy one, that righteous one, who has blood to cleanse from all sin, all sin. And there's a message of comfort. And we'll close with Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. A message of comfort. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Her sins are covered. It's all covered, Church of God, in that Lamb. Blessed Easter, blessed Lamb, blessed people. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee richly apply thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that it doesn't only enter into the ear gate, but that it gives life, it comes into the heart, that sinners may hear it. Nothing is finished on my part. I'm guilty. God is unsatisfied with me because of all my sin. But may they also have heard it. There is a place where God, that one against whom I have sinned against and offended to his very heart with all my sins and who I am, satisfied in another. O Lord, we beg thee richly bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners would be brought to repentance, become seekers, become finders of that precious Savior, that they may experience the wonders of thy grace in their hearts and their souls for the glory of thy name. Care for thy people, Lord. Remember each one. Help the elders in teaching the catechism lessons. Bless it also these means of grace. And may we ask thee, Lord, that we may come again tonight to hear what thou hast to say unto us on this day that thou hast given, that we may remember that thou hast risen, raised thy Son, and he lives forevermore. Amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 425, stanzas 1 and 3. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices, come worship while your soul rejoices. Make known his doings far and near, that peoples all his name may fear, and tell in many joyful lay of all his wonders day by day. And 3, seek ye Jehovah and his power, seek ye his presence every hour. 425, stanzas 1 and 3. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.